what do you think's in the burgers? And like, it was like this, like the best tagline of any dumbass game. It's so funny. All right, let's ride this wave of laughter into the pod.
Let's do it.
Starting in 5, 4, 3. Welcome to Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith.
Yes. And you're listening to the podcast that's making conspiracies fun again.
We're trying.
We're trying, and we're here today to talk about Facebook, Project LifeLog, and yes, the government does know everything.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, this one's terrifying in every way, shape, or form, but also kind of interesting, too. So okay. I'm excited to share it with you. We're doing well. We've got some, new patrons?
We do. We've had a bunch of new patrons this week. I want to give a shout-out to Tom D, Angel R, Derek B, Griffin M, Waffy H. Thank you. That was, all you guys joined last week, so I don't know if
thanks so much.
The airdrop dick pics I'm sending out on planes are working or what, but
did you see that guy? That's a true story.
Oh, I know. It's what's that show? God damn it. I don't have enough beer yet. Dick Wolf.
A guy did that on a plane. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's bold.
Yeah.
I don't do it with iPhones. I don't really know how an AirDrop works.
You can do AirDrop on your phone.
Yeah, I can.
Yeah, it's not AirDrop. It's something else, but whatever.
Yeah, it's probably.
And our guests can open their beer. It's not going to sound on. You're not going to hear it. So if you want to start drinking. Oh, you could hear it.
Yeah, that's how you open a bottle.
Okay. I didn't mean to bring
it. Speaking of guests.
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just he looks so ready to drink.
I already had an open one. I just wanted to get in on the sound effect.
Well, this is our good friend of the podcast. He's been a guest many times, and we're very glad to have back. Joe Perot, welcome to the studio.
Hello,
gentlemen. First time in the studio.
Yeah, well, this is it. And patrons, if you're in the Raleigh area, let us know because we'll have you over for an open house or sit in and listen or something.
Get to sign the wall. Yeah. Had a bunch of patrons come by, sign the wall, and come on by.
Yeah. Do you follow the news much?
Big stories as they come in. I listen to one news podcast a day and I'm just like, oh, the war is still going on in Ukraine.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
COVID's moved on. All right, moving on.
Well, I think COVID's over, apparently.
Yeah, that's what the president said.
Yeah.
No one believes him.
No, he's just over it.
No, now he's backtracking on it.
Oh, is he really?
Well, yeah. I think they're like, well, he doesn't mean it's over. It's just the bad parts are over.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Now it's good.
Yeah, that's like the
now the people that died.
You were
deserve.
President Bush with that mission accomplished banner.
They should have had Biden flying on that two-seater, weird jet.
Yeah.
It's like the front of a station wagon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I do. I read a couple major newspapers. I don't read the newspaper, just to be clear.
You're not 90.
I'm not 90, but I do read the internet, and I was struck by the headline of this article in the Washington Post, or the WAPO, as the
that's
what the WAPO is, the people in D.C. call it. And breaking news this week that the Pentagon, has issued a sweeping inquiry into the Defense Department led PSYOP program that uses social media to spread disinformation.
Okay.
But
they could have probably started this years ago.
I don't think that in of itself should shock anybody. I'm sure it does shock people that our military is on the social medias spreading disinformation. Now, to be fair, the article was about accounts that were working in zones outside of the United States. Mm.
Right. That makes sense.
So they were trying to spread disinformation to destabilize the Middle East or gather support in Russia for the Ukrainian cause they're doing stuff that is at least in theory aligned with U.S. military objectives. Right.
And every country does.
Does the Middle East
still
need destabilizing? I know. At what point are we we're far enough into this Jenga game. This thing's going to topple at any second.
I saw a TikTok of a kid skateboarding in Iraq, and I was like, there's no rocks on the streets? Who cleaned the street? We got to destabilize that
sandboard.
Shit. Oh, is that what it was?
Sand skating.
No, there was definitely wheels.
The Facebook, here's what happened is Facebook flagged several accounts and took them down and then traced them. And they sort of hey, I don't know if you guys want to know this, but we took down some of your accounts. And the military was like, we don't know anything about those. And then they were like, shit, those are our accounts.
Oh.
And so Stanford has a cyber policy center that has a newsletter, like an academic journal called Graphica. It's spelled really awful. Like there's a PH in there and a K somehow. It's really bad spelling. But they published a report called Unheard Voice, evaluating 5 years of pro-Western covert influence operations. Great academic, lots of charts, lots of heat maps.
Ooh, I love a heat map.
Lots of like drawings with like those, whatever those data points where it just sort of makes an arc from one. Like
those are fun. I love good
a bell curve
data vision.
Yeah, no, it's like you never see, you know, like where you look at a where the
parabola.
No, it's like, you know, where they show like where like Delta flies from their hub and you get those like,
oh, all the lines.
Yeah. It was like tracing like how the misinformation spread out of these hot zones and target zones into other places. And it's a sexy little article. Yeah,
I love heat maps. I was at the Space Museum in Chicago, the planetarium. And they had this screen that showed the hot parts of your body.
That's a different kind of heat map.
Oh, I know, but
that's like a literal heat
it
map.
It is, but I just want you to know that if you ever stand in front of one, it's a bad idea to have it in a museum full of kids, because the only thing that's hot on you are your tits and your dick, or your tits and your vagina when you stand in front of this thing.
Is that right?
Yeah, hot as hell. And then, of course, what it makes you do is rub them real hard to see how hot
they
you can make them.
They get even hotter.
That'll get even hotter.
Yeah. Nice.
I know it's not the same heat map, but boy.
Man.
Yeah.
How much warmer is your...
You see like a hot splooge down your leg.
Yeah, it's like dripping.
It's like, that's a great scene where you just
gotta go.
I didn't think, why are your tits hotter?
Because they rub up against your shirt, I bet. And it's a friction. Tit friction.
Oh, friction. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why my crotch is cold.
There's nothing rubbing against anything.
Should my crotch be concave? That's weird.
He looks like the Predator?
Yeah, basically.
Nice.
Yeah, the Predator with his hot dick.
Well, the Graphica report said a couple things that were really interesting. First of all, whoever was running these psyops was really bad at Facebook. That was the best part of this whole thing. Like, really bad. Like, they couldn't get people to follow them, so they had paid for followers. Like, you know, you could buy followers.
Right.
So they had, like... They used profile pics that were easily traceable to Puerto Rican actors. It was so weird. Yeah. And all they would do is like, they would like widen or shrink the face, so like a reverse image search wouldn't catch it. But like anybody that like spent any amount of time, they were like, it's very obviously this. Like the clothes were the same, and it's like, this is clearly a Puerto Rican.
Is that like when someone famous follows me and I'm like, oh, they're following me, and I'm like, they didn't have three eyebrows.
What? No, right. Yeah, I get followed by Serena Williams _ a lot. Like, there's some...
What? I was like, why does she have a lot in her username? That's weird.
No, because at some point, Serena Williams followed me. And I was like, that's not the real Serena Williams.
Probably not.
No. And so then she was like, hey, what's up? And I was like, you're my favorite tennis player. And I went on for a couple days just trolling with this person. And so eventually, like, I was like, I'm getting tired of this. So I blocked him. And then now I just constantly get a friend request from
different iterations of
Serena Williams. Yeah. So then what I did is I screenshot that and I posted on the real Serena Williams page. And I was like, hey, can you please stay out of my DMs? And people were like, that's not really her. And I'm like, really? You guys are.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me know.
Thanks.
I'm over here reading the paper like a 90-year-old. I don't know who's real and who's not.
Yeah. So they used a red flag here is they used copycat accounts. So in other words, like, one of the telltale signs of fake accounts that helps Facebook spot them is, like, if they post the exact same stuff repeatedly, same articles, that's a huge problem.
Which is on Reddit, every time we post, it's like, did someone post this already? Does it post in a different community? And same with you block someone on Instagram, it says, do you want to block every account that they might make or every account that they own?
I didn't know that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I just block so many people. It's just, I'm used
why
to
do you block so many people?
Haters.
No, I just have a lot of people that are like, hi, sweetie. I'm like,
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Block. It's okay. Like nobody that wants me calls me sweetie, okay?
Yeah.
So they're posting the same thing, like the same article from like 10 different accounts?
Exactly.
Or one account is posting it like 10 times?
10 different accounts posting the exact same article. And that's how Facebook ultimately caught them. They also sourced their articles overwhelmingly from CENTCOM. Do you know what you guys
know? Oh, yeah, Central Command.
Yeah, Central Command.
Mm-hmm. What's that? Tell me more.
Central Command is essentially the command center of the U.S. military. It's, for inexplicable reasons, I could not figure this out, it's based in Tampa, Florida.
That's weird.
I think that's weird.
That's real weird.
But they create media. There, most people don't know this, but CENTCOM is essentially a state-run media company that creates articles for outside the U.S., for jurisdictions where we are trying to have some kind of sphere of influence.
That rules.
So is it like RT for America? Like, you know,
what's the Russian?
Yeah, the Russian news network.
Yeah, it is like very much like media. The Russian. They lead and run operatives all across the globe. Right. Hmm.
That's got to be a horrible job. Like, well, it's probably no different than like having to write copy for scientific journals. It's like, I got to get the it's boring.
Yeah. And in fact,
my passion, but yeah, I don't know. I guess Pakistan has to get a new leader. So.
Well, they got kind of like in 2015, like 50 of their intelligence analysts, like all blew the whistle or I don't know what they did. They walked out or did something over the fact that they said that the higher ups, superiors, were altering their intelligence reports to paint a rosier picture of certain things. Mm.
That's like what our military is best at, right?
Yeah, but I can understand as a ground level intelligence person where you create this report and you're trying to be really factually accurate about stuff, about intelligence, and someone's like, yeah, don't say that. Clean that up a little bit. Don't make it sound so negative.
Right.
And you're
isn't that what management's all about?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess the question is I always was under the understanding that like intelligence was meant to be as the nakedest truth that you could possibly.
It should be.
Should be.
In war.
Now, these are not intelligence reports that are going to like civilians and to media. These are intelligence reports for like that they would use for to brief Congress and senators and defense oversight committees and the president for that matter.
Right. But that's no different than what they did in any war, like Vietnam. They're like, oh, we're doing great. We captured that hill. And it's like, well, we lost 5,000 people in one day. It's like, no, but it went great. We got it. And we left it the next day.
Yeah, the opposite of the Iraq war when they were like, all right, things aren't going so well. Yeah. We're going to fly the president and we're going to say, mission not quite finished yet.
That's right.
That was one of the best moments in presidential history. so they are a little bit of a, I don't know, a little bit of a controversial organization. I think you guys think I'm crazy but we're immersed in this culture. I think most people would find it somewhat stunning that the CENTCOM has a huge amount of control over what we think and read and feel about our military operations all across the world.
Are they the ones huge who influence send the overseas signals to the vaccine to my brain?
I don't think they would do that. One of the organizations that we're going to talk about might do that.
Can I ask you, what's the time frame that we're talking? This Washington Post article.
It came out
just like
yesterday. Okay. It came out yesterday.
And then when are these? How far? They Facebook, traced. They can't trace it back that far, right?
Well, hold that thought.
Okay. Sorry, jumping ahead.
But no. But the Graphica article talked about it 5 years, like five years of this influence campaign using social media. And I guess I want to be clear. Like I can understand, and what the military has said is that like. Look, our enemies are operating in this space, this sphere of influence. We can't just cede the social media to our enemies. Like we have to combat their disinformation with our own disinformation, right? Like we have to do that. Like, and I guess I get that. I mean, I get understand that the internet has no borders and that's problematic from a military standpoint. Like, yeah. I firmly believe that Russia used disinformation, and is still using disinformation to try to further the divide in America.
Oh, absolutely.
Them. I do think it's a little fishy that they were able to disrupt the election and put all of this misinformation out there.
Yeah.
And then, what, like 5-6 years later, they've invaded another country and everyone's like, we fucking hate these guys. Like, what happened? Yeah. What happened to the disinformation campaign leading up to right. them?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They took a nap when they were supposed to be pushing it out.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to see, at least for this segment right here, the in a light most favorable to the government. But the problem is that we know from that what Facebook found, these awfully run information campaigns, the only problem is that the only problem the government has is that they got caught, because they're like, if Facebook can figure this out, then our enemies can figure it out.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But wouldn't Facebook have like the ultimate look under the hood?
Yeah, yes. But here's the thing. Like, how do you spot a fake account? Like, that's that. Like, and at what sense is an account, quote unquote, fake? I mean, this is what's going on with Elon Musk and Twitter, right? Is he's just like, you just have a bunch of robots that are programmed to be users, and that inflates your value, and I want to know the real number, and blah blah blah. And it's actually, well, I think it's harder to figure out what's a fake account than it seems at first, especially if someone's savvy.
Yeah, or it's a good bot,
right? If it's a good
bot, you can talk to him all day long, yeah, and be like, "It is Serena Williams."
And the reason why it's important is because, like, no one goes in as their selves and does the nefarious things that I'm about to tell you that the government does.
Oh, get you ready! Know?
Ooh, right, so you create
just lubing us up here.
You create ready. These like crazy things. You create these fake accounts. Ideally, you create a fake account that has influence, like that can influence people.
But they just botched it.
In the ones they got caught on were botched. And that's really the only problem the government has. They don't have a problem with what was being done. They're just like, our only issue, literally a guy said that. Like, our only issue is that if Facebook can find it, our enemies can find it.
Hmm. I mean, I'm not surprised that this would be a strategy oh my God, no. I'm like worried. I mean, this is the same government, the same military that's like, what if we put LSD in the water and we turn their population gay because gay people can't fight?
That's right. Yeah, this the government just go, what if is their policy? Just what if?
Yeah.
It's what Marvel and that we should make a Marvel show about the government.
Well, what concerns people who are following this is that there's a treasure trove of documents that are known as the Snowden Archive, which obviously named for Edward Snowden. And I think the thing about the Edward Snowden story is that incident has been reduced down to whether you think that Snowden was justifiable in what he did,
right,
or whether you don't, right? Like, can someone basically commit treason if they think it's for the greater good, which is what Snowden says. All that debate has obscured what those was contained in the documents.
Oh, right.
That, right? And so there are people that are still studying the Snowden archives. And it's from the Snowden archives that we know exactly how the government uses the internet and social media to influence and control people and corporations. And it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
I looked at it. I never really dug into it at all, and I did. And it's so insane.
Should we get off every internet thing right now?
Okay. They have a thing called the Joint Threat Research Intelligence Group. And they spy and attack people constantly. U.S. citizens and foreigns, like people, other country. You know Anonymous?
Foreigns. Yeah, I know Anonymous.
They hacked Anonymous. They did what Anonymous does to people. Wow. They actually hacked Anonymous. They monitor Blogger and YouTube. They use honey traps. That's their like main source. Is they use honey traps.
What's a honey trap?
A honey trap is like a bear sticks his hand to honey and it gets caught. So it's like, you give something people want, like sex, prostitution, drugs, information, secrets,
social media,
and you give them something they want, and then you've got them because you've got compromise on them, or you've got them addicted to something, or And think of it like this, like you know those like Facebook games you play where like it's like, what Hogwarts house am right. I? And then people just like, in order to do this, we need some information from you. Put your social in and your birthday. And you're right. Like, and people are like, okay.
In order to do this quiz, we reserve the right to view all your, of your.
Exactly.
Or it's, and like, then it's like your internet cache and your cookies. Yeah, and all we that get
it all in order to, And like it, all that, like the, remember the face thing that was was so bad for a while. And they're like, don't, like that's, they created all these honey traps that people were like, oh, that's awesome. I want to do that. And they'll give, they got information on people, oftentimes compromising information. So like there, like there's a slide, like a freaking PowerPoint slide presentation in the Snowden archive. And has all the slides are like, I can't believe this is like a, one is called discredit a target. And it's like, step one, set up a honey trap. Two, change their photos on social networking sites. that's awesome.
Wait, his smile's wider and he's Puerto Rican now.
Well, they would go in and edit people. they could edit people's posts. Edit people's posts.
Crazy.
They said create blogs. They said, this is, I'm just going to quote it word for word. Write a blog purporting to be one of their victims. So how do you discredit a target is you create a blog post and you're like literally claim that person victimized you. They said email, text, colleagues, neighbors, friends, et cetera. So like you literally, you set up a honey trap, you get the compromise on them, right? You get some information and then you spread it. You send emails out to their bosses and their friends and like you create fake identities. You change, you doctor photos and change things on their social media. So you basically where someone is, people are like, that person's a bad dude. Don't listen
to him. Oh, man. That's got to be a fun job. Wouldn't
you notice?
You would think you would notice.
Like, I would notice people doing that.
I don't think that you notice it because what you're doing is, like, I don't go back to my old Facebook posts. So you're going back, and then people are all of a sudden going like, wait, he's a sleazeball? And then they go back, and you're like, I didn't post that picture. And it's like you with, like, two girls and
Anthony,
you know,
Weiner
nightclub,
was
like,
compromised
doing cocaine off somebody's, you know, nipple in a bar, you know, and it's like,
I want to see a celebrity use this as like an excuse. Yeah. Like, I didn't say the N-word on Facebook in 2012. That was the government.
It was a honeypot.
They're trying to frame me.
Yeah. I mean, they had a slide on how to discredit a company, how to, you know, and this was leaked confidential information. So essentially, our government is going in to companies, stealing confidential information and then leaking it to the public.
Can I glean anything that I could use for my own day-to-day Edward Dante revenge plots?
You say this?
Yeah, can I? Is that public?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, no, you're going to want to know about the 4Ds.
Okay, 4Ds. All right.
Post negative information on appropriate forums. That seems pretty easy to me, where like if you just want to discredit a company –
I didn't have D in it at all.
Oh, we're getting to this. We're getting to the 4Ds. Oh,
I'm glad someone's paying attention.
Like, all right, 4Ds. That started with a P and none of the words. I don't even think they had a D in them.
They were stop deals, ruin business relationship. That's how you discredit a company.
Okay.
The 4Ds. Deny, disrupt,
okay.
Degrade, deceive.
Okay.
I mean.
Okay. Couldn't they just tie it all together and just call it gaslighting?
Well, that's what it is. That's what it is. And I think maybe this will make it the point a little finer. Is that these were specifically done in lieu of traditional legal means. Like traditional, like we want to do this and instead of traditional law enforcement because it's easier, right?
Right.
Yeah. It is more effective in a way. Like we can neutralize a threat easier through these sort of covert methods than the sort of traditional.
What if we just get everybody to hate them?
Yeah.
Right. No. Yeah, right.
Totally.
Right. They had this thing that was called the gambits for deception. You really should go look at the gambits for deception because it's based in game theory, but it has these like different things: attention, perception, sense making, affect, behavior, and it lays out a way that you can like generate. Like, if I want to change someone's perception. Gives you five steps to do it.
No shit.
You want to change people's behavior. You want to get their attention. And it's things like the big move covers a little move. The target looks where you look. Attention drops at the perceived end. Repetition reduces vigilante. It's all these like little like codes that you're like, this is how we can take people down.
This sounds like a playbook at Q.
No, it is. Yeah. It is exactly like this sort of thing. And that, to me, this is like where it starts to get really terrifying to me, because this is stuff that, but for the fact that Edward Snowden committed treason, we would have no idea that this stuff was going on.
He's a hero. Is he liked by the podcast, disliked by the podcast, neutral?
It's tough. I think it's, I mean, we wouldn't have this episode without him. So I like
that's
him
true.
For that.
That's true. Where I get tripped up is that, like, people will say Edward Snowden put people's lives at risk, like intelligence
potentially. I can see that.
So that's where I struggle with it. But yeah. I think I'm overall in favor of what Snowden did.
Right. But could you turn this whole argument and being in favor for it with the same shit that Trump's doing and just be like, well, it's for the greater good. He's selling nuclear secrets. It's good for America somehow.
It's harder.
That's a pretty disconnection. Dude, I'm just saying, like, they
what
can make a connection.
Was that was like, he sounded like Reagan.
I don't even know.
Trump's doing what he...
I was like, let me just choose an accent that's not me in case someone needs to clip this out and try to frame me for something.
Right, it was somebody else. But then they're going to stretch it, they're going to heighten it.
Right.
Wait, that guy sounded Puerto Rican.
That's right. Look at the size of his mouth.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's... I mean, Snowden... He has a moral compass that Trump seems to lack to me.
Yeah.
And
you don't say.
I mean, wow. Yeah.
Most shocking thing I've heard so far today.
Yeah, I
Trump lacks moral compass. Whoa.
What do you
take it easy?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's anything that's listeners. Trump's political strength is that he's malleable. Like he bends and doesn't break.
He's just a big ball of Play-Doh, mentally and physically.
Yeah, very much.
Well, he's like Bruce Lee. He's like, be the water.
Orange goop. Yeah.
Don't be the glass, be the water.
Now, here's where things get crazy. People who are looking at this whole issue with the Snowden stuff, with the Pentagon ordering this sweep, they're saying that actually what's going on is this is the very, very tip of the iceberg of what's called Project LifeLog. That what was threatened by all of this is that the truth and reality of Project LifeLog is slowly starting to unravel. And if it does, it would be unthinkable harm.
And this is LifeLog or LifeLock?
LifeLog.
Okay, I was like, that's a company that I told them to secure my stuff. They better not be behind this.
You're fucked. You volunteered for it.
I know. What the hell?
I didn't even have to do anything nefarious. I know. This guy's paying us. What an idiot. What he called us. He was like, can you fix
he
this?
Just handed his shit over.
LifeLog is a project by our friends over at the Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, DARPA. Mm-hmm.
That's a government agency?
Yes.
How many agencies? We had too many agencies. I was like, all right, is this NSA or CIA? No, the big two?
So DARPA.
Somebody else?
No.
DARPA
so many.
Is, we've called DARPA many times the Q of the U.S. military.
And not QAnon, but Q as
like
in James
Q,
Bond.
James Bond Q. It's like, they had like, where did they get those wonderful toys? We've done a couple episodes that have touched on DARPA, but they're doing stuff where like, they can build prosthetic hands that you can control with your mind. Right.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah.
They've got ways to erase memories from soldiers who suffer suffering from PTSD. They've got
also seems positive so far.
I'm down.
They've got ways to like you, where they can teach you by like basically beaming information into your brain.
Like
all
the
kind.
Matrix.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It's
and now,
exactly
I don't know if,
like the Matrix.
I don't know if this is DARPA, but this is a similar thing that came out recently. They can look at your dreams and your thoughts and actually give a visual image.
Oh, that is
image.
That is DARPA as well. Yes.
That's insane.
DARPA is like DARPA is where like somebody thinks of something and they're like, hey, run it by the boys over at DARPA. See, that would be cool. So whenever anybody in the military is like, yeah, what if we could just like make people gay with like a bomb. I'm like, yeah, see what DARPA can figure out. Right?
Like, yeah, we did that in the 60s.
Yeah.
They actually did that, right?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
I just make that up.
No, it was a
gay bomb. Yeah.
Man, how come they don't tell you about this when you're a kid in school? Because that seems like the coolest fucking job.
Yeah.
Just like unlimited funds, come up with the fucking bullshit. Like, kids draw crazy shit all the time. You could be like, you make that kid.
Career day in Northern Virginia sounds so much better than where any of us would have done career day.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let me tell you what Project LifeLog is. 2003. I'm going to give you the scientific or the sort of jargony thing, and then we'll break it down.
Started in 2003?
Yes.
Okay.
An ontology-based subsystem that captures, stores, and makes accessible the flow of one's person's experience in and interactions with the world in order to support a broad spectrum of associates, assistants, and other system capabilities. That's the official goal of Project LifeLog. Now, what does Project LifeLog actually do? What was it designed and what are its capabilities? Was, quote, to be able to trace the threads of an individual's life in terms of events, states, and relationships. The program has the ability to take in, again, I'm quoting, all of a subject's experience from phone numbers dialed, email messages views to every breath taken, steps made, and place gone. So it literally is designed to create a life log. So you can target a person and you can target every single thing they've ever done from cradle to grave, every email they've sent, text, and you can create this log, this impression, and you can use that information for, as it says, like support a broad spectrum of systems capabilities. So it creates and it was intended to be a massive data set of each individual person, and using machine learning and information, it would aid them in those influence campaigns, right? Do you guys watch Black Mirror?
I stopped after the first episode.
The first episode is the hardest one. Pig?
Yeah.
That's the hardest one.
Yeah. I heard it's – well, actually, no, I've watched one after that. My wife just was done after the first one. She's like, no.
It's real. I'd tell people to maybe skip the first one.
It's scary. It's – I know it's all real and scary, so I'm like, I don't know if any
– Yeah, there's an episode – it's the first episode of season two, which I think season one is just three or four episodes. But it's called Be Right Back, and it's about a couple and the fiancé or boyfriend dies. And she subscribes to this new program where you give people access to all their texts and emails, and then you can keep talking to your deceased loved one electronically, right? Like you can, they can text you, and they just create an AI of your, you know, that uses their language and jargon, and it just sort of talks to you. And this is exactly what LifeLog.
Right.
Yes.
And we have a podcast, so they know exactly how we respond to everything.
Everything.
They've got your voice, even your silly Puerto Rican impressions.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. But like, I've always thought that this all was already going on anyway.
Right.
That like everything you've ever done on the internet always has been tracked. And it's just like, well, does it exist in one specific place, or is it like so decentralized that it's actually not that serious?
Well,
yeah, is it like
does what I've done on Twitter, does that connect with what I've done on Facebook, which connects with like my Google Chrome history, which connects with this other thing?
I think that's where it gets the compiling of that information is where it gets really – where it's like Joe Perreault is not just joeperreault@gmail.com. He's your Facebook. He's your Insta, right? He's every text message that you've ever sent. Every time your location has been pinged, everywhere you've checked in somewhere, like they can follow everywhere you've ever been, every plane ticket, every breath you've ever taken.
That is a somewhat worrying thing about the use of like more, like there's more of a connection because text messages were cellular.
Yeah.
Until smartphones, right? So those exist in two different, I don't know anything, so I'm sure there's a way on the back end that you can connect them, right?
Yeah, no, right, think, right. Yeah, no.
They sort of exist in two different spaces, but now everything weaves in together.
Is that why Apple doesn't switch from their phone text language is because it's more secure than what Android uses?
Theirs is more secure, but it's more secure because it's closed loop essentially. Okay. Like it's written in their language and it's only accessible. Whereas Android is way more accessible.
Yeah. It's open source.
So it's open source. So it's easier to hack.
Yeah. That makes sense.
But just because you use an iPhone doesn't mean that they're like, well, we can't use iPhone users or else.
Most security people I know use Android, which is weird. So I'm like, that's
what
They like the freedom of it.
Yeah, it's like I can lock my phone down. I can wipe it and do things. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing that I think is most troubling about this. And this is what we're going to talk about to sort of get towards the end, is that as they were enacting this project, LifeLock, obviously the big concern that people had was privacy, right? It's 2003. Now it's 2004. They're instituting it. It works. And they're like, we can do this. We can build a database that tracks everything somebody does. I'm like, okay. But what is that like? What if people find out? Like, isn't that a, you know, isn't that a big, you know, overstep of our boundaries? They're like, yes. So they shut the project down on February 3rd, 2004.
Okay.
On February 4th, 2004, the day after Facebook was launched.
Holy shit.
You saw it coming, right?
Yeah. I mean, right? You're saying like, oh, people are worried about it. And I'm like, yeah, but then we all just caved into this thing. Right. And that was the whole thing with Snowden in 2014, 2015, that like, yeah, but you volunteered all this information to this private company, seemingly private company.
Seemingly private company.
Crazy.
So I think, I don't want to jump to conclusions if I'm too early. I think DARPA, the real thing is.
DARPA.
What was it? DARPA.
DARPA. But it, I like DARPA's DARPA even better.
They work for DARPA.
They use really those. Derpy.
Putting memories into people's brains and prosthetics, they created a robot man named Mark Zuckerberg, who then created this site.
It's not. Look,
he's the inside man.
It is. You know, if you look at Mark Zuckerberg as objective as you can, and you think like a freshman at Harvard in 2004 creates something that less than 15 years later, but a dozen years later, I don't know at what point Facebook was just omnipresent and effervescent that we were.
I would say by 12.
2000, like, yeah. So 8 years.
I signed up when you had to have a school email.
Yeah. That was like 2005, 2006, because I couldn't have a Facebook account until I got to college.
Oh, right.
And then when I got to college, that was the year that they opened it up.
Yeah.
But it was still mostly just college students.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's, if you want, like, we want people. We want to track people. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we can't do that because it violates their privacy. Well, what if they willingly let us? They'll never do that. It's like, well, what if we make it into like a fun experience?
What if we try?
Yeah. So like when you see your Facebook memories, like I like sometimes seeing my Facebook memories. Mm-hmm. And then I read this and I'm like, wait a second. No, they're just like, they're only showing me the memories that they know will make me happy.
Oh,
right.
Well, like, I don't post any sad stuff.
I don't post a lot of sad stuff, but like every photo I've ever taken is probably stored in some regard. I mean, because Google, I mean, they have they're omnipresent as well.
Yeah. And if you think about this, this is dangerous. Like Google and all these things track who's in photos, and we're willingly saying, oh, I would need to look up.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Yeah, I need to look up a picture of this friend.
Yes. And then like, all of a sudden it became like, wow, they're getting really good at guessing.
Yeah, yeah. I don't like that every bald person they say is me, but it somehow, it actually is able to pick the difference between my wife and her sister, which is terrifying.
That's insane.
It's terrifying that it can like find a minute detail and just focus on
it. Yes, yes. And we are constantly, you know, like we've talked about this once before where all those sort of things that Facebook, those games that they make you play, it's like constantly getting you to reveal your passwords. And it's like, enter your mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
And the first concert you went to and we'll tell you your sign. And it's like,
I do bits
tell
about
us
my
your
first
social
concert.
Security number. And we'll tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll tell you which house you are in Westeros.
You actually live in Easteros. Sorry.
Fuck.
Damn it.
And the idea that some Indian scammers who want to get my Microsoft account and steal money from me. I mean, I don't like that. That's way less scary to me than the U.S. government using a honeypot of social media.
Right. Yeah.
To build a fucking database that records everything.
Yeah. I heard that they're running out of space. Server space for all this stuff. And they're at a point now where they might have to delete a lot of the stuff if they want to keep doing what they're doing.
That is true. I can't remember because the numbers were mind-boggling, but the amount of data that's generated just by email per day.
Yeah, it's dumb.
But isn't that like the criticism of Bitcoin? What am I thinking of?
Blockchain. Sorry. Yeah.
That like blockchain just creates so much,
so much code, data,
so much information.
Yeah.
I think we just need a switch off, reboot, start over, and then everybody knows that. I think that would be
that's it.
We'll never do that.
Yeah, but we should all be Amish for like 5 years.
Yeah,
no internet.
Man.
Hard reset.
We're all just so happy.
Yeah.
Everybody's building barns. Fit.
Yeah. Fit. Great beards.
And then we're like, we're running out of room. We can't build any more barns. There's no space. We've cut down all the trees.
And then we start playing Farmville and we're back to normal.
Can we start mining silicon again? Yeah.
I think what scares me about it all is not it would scare me if I thought like, well, they can use this to get compromising information and get you to do something you don't want to do. And maybe that stuff happens, but more it's like, what if it's just used to just sort of control us in a very, very benign, menial sort of way where it's just like, Justin's getting a little out of line. Let's run the life log algorithm on him. We know that this time of year he gets forlorn and misses his dad. So let's, give his dad a windfall so he could fly into Raleigh and you know what I mean? Like, it's just like this weird, like micromanaging of humans in a way that we can just influence masses of people.
I do think it's funny, the life log idea though. And it's like, they're creating like this memory of your life and, it can like play everything back. But like, if you've ever gone on the Facebook memories thing where it's like, hey, you're celebrating the 8th year of friendship with Shane Smith.
Yeah.
Celebrate it together. And then you look at the little video they put together and you're like, this is the stupidest fucking thing I've ever seen.
And half of them aren't even pictures of us together.
Right.
That's hilarious.
Also,
it's us on a roller coaster. What?
Yeah, I'm hurt that you didn't tell me we celebrated that.
we have a lot of data, and I think that this episode this week has made me think that most of it is somehow cataloged. I mean, I know that the numbers sound daunting, but a database with, like, let's say in America, we're talking about 400 or 500 million people. Mm-hmm. That's not a lot.
How many people do you think live in this country?
Well, you say or 5 million.
I said 400 to 500 million.
Okay,
I was thinking there's like 350 million people. Plus, they probably have had, I mean, I think 10 million people die every year. So I was just saying, like, there's probably a little bit more that they
attrition.
They keep. Oh, man, how many Facebook users are there?
Billions.
Yeah, a billion, right?
Two.
So yeah, so like we're that. Talking about, I mean, that Facebook has this for every user, right?
Yeah.
And so.
But I also think that a lot of these people might just be so, they just started storing it and they don't even know how to go through it. Like, think of a hoarder, right? It's like, well, I have all the newspapers from 1967, but they're all under a pile of cat shit. I can't get
right. Like, are you gonna read that?
Yeah. What are you gonna do? Yeah. Oh, I remember that time that something happened in the 60s. I'm gonna go back and find it. Like, are you?
What I always think about it. I've accepted they've got everything. It's all stored.
Oh, you've
somewhere.
Got. Yeah.
But like, where's the manpower to sort through all of those emails and all of those text messages to pin something on me?
Well, they won't need
the manpower is AI.
And
big data AI.
Well,
that
now
can,
we're onto something different.
Yeah.
That's the whole terrifying point, is that like if someone can say, like, we can take, not only can we take Joe Perreault out, we can replace Joe Perreault with a better Joe Perreault because we have his whole life log, and we can think, speak, and talk like him, and we can replace him with.
Yeah, I hope I'm not the better Shane Smith.
No, wouldn't you want to be the better Shane Smith?
I would like to be.
Yeah,
but
that's good.
I'm evolved,
that I just realize I'm
great.
The worst.
Yeah.
Joe Perreault.
Yeah.
I'm envisioning a future where it's like we go to war against Cybernet.
Oh, yeah.
And artificial intelligence, but instead of like skeleton robots and Arnold Schwarzenegger killing us, they're just using old Facebook posts.
Yeah.
So that the humans just cancel each other. And it's a Terminator remake.
I like that.
Yeah. It, I mean, it's
canceled.
Man, this is probably as controversial of a statement as I've made.
Ever?
On the podcast for sure. Okay. Is that if you...
Life log?
but if you think about this whole idea and then you say, well, let's test this our capabilities. Mm-hmm. And then you say, well, let's run a test. It's like, okay, what's a good test? Well, let's create and manage a fake pandemic and see if we can control people. Mm. Right? I mean, there are people that believe that's what happened.
Oh, right, yeah.
With COVID, and for most of COVID, I thought that was a little bit ridiculous, and I think it probably still is ridiculous. I think the whole, like, now we're learning the masks and the 6 feet did absolutely nothing. Like, all the crazy anti-maskers were actually correct, and now no progressives want to talk about science, which is interesting to me, because now I think science are coming to the conclusion that really didn't matter, didn't really.
But good masks work.
Yeah.
Like a KN95 works, but wearing a handkerchief over your face that's correct. Doesn't right. work.
Yeah, does, yeah. That did not.
Well, work. Also, a lot of that stuff, it's like, I think you can deny and cause problems, or you can get on board, which sounds like a sheep thing to do, but get on board and say it's for the greater good, and just your appearance makes a difference.
Well, wearing the masks and finding out 2-3 years later when there's not a fucking crisis that really didn't do much is a lot better than not wearing the masks.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And finding out 2 or 3 years later if people would have worn masks, 70 million people.
That's a better way of saying it.
I agree with. I'm just saying that, like.
Well, it was the back end. I mean, now we're getting into. Science, but it was a little bit of a back and forth where at first they were like, the masks don't really do anything. And also it's more important that nurses have the mask.
Sure.
So that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And then a few months later, it was like, you should wear a mask at all times. Mm-hmm. But I can remember walking around New York City and I'm like, I'm on the sidewalk. I'm not near anybody.
Yeah.
What difference does it make? Like I'm past the stage of like, I think this is radioactivity and just being outside. And then it was like, if I go into a place, and I wear a good mask. Mm-hmm. Sure, that works. But I don't know, a million people did.
Yeah.
I don't know a single one of them, but I'm told that a million people have died.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was thinking about that earlier today. I'm like, how did I not know anyone that died of COVID?
Yeah. I know almost friends of friends, impossible. But I don't know personally. Knock on wood.
You think there's people that are like betting on another pandemic and hoarding N95 masks to sell them when like the shortage comes?
Definitely. That Hasidic guy that stored like five pallets in his apartment in Brooklyn. Remember that guy?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I always remember the guy that like when the pandemic first started coming around, he sensed that masks. So he bought these survival kits and they came with like they bought them for like $5 and they came with like 25 masks. And then he split those up and sold like each one of those masks for like $10. Like, it was something ridiculous. Yeah. So he was making like a few $100 on every survival kit. Hmm.
But that's no different than white labeling products on Amazon.
It's not different at all. But like,
I mean, obviously you got arrested. There's a moral thing about
charged
it.
Charged price gouging. And it's I thought it was brilliant, but apparently not
the. Apparently the U.S. government didn't think it was. And they also accused him of being a pedophile. Yeah. Where did they get that in?
Honeypotted that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like – I'm telling you, I have not felt good since I went down this rabbit hole. Like, I don't like even – like, first of all, like, it's just so weird to me that Project LifeLog was officially shut down on February 3rd, 2004, and the next day, the Facebook launch. Yeah, I guess it could be a coincidence.
Yeah.
But it's a very peculiar coincidence, because I feel like the Facebook is designed – to be exactly what life
is. But that's also putting a lot of stake into a startup. 95% of startups fail, and they were just assuming. But maybe
the government's
funding it and making it work.
Yeah. Let's start out with college students. Let's make it cool. It's going to take a little while. Yeah. We'll make it exclusive.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, and right.
Yeah. It's like the Truth campaign cut out smoking? You know, it's like they like target it towards – cool commercials for young
kids.
It's cool
not to smoke.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll put fake bodies.
Exactly, body bags on the front steps.
I forgot about those dumbass.
Yeah. How does it work?
You have fucking kids.
Worked.
What is the future of technology make you think for your children?
Oh, well, I will say this. Like, we teach our kids that you have to live your life. You're always on a camera.
Yeah.
Every text that you send is seen, can be mm-hmm. seen by the public. Mm-hmm. Every email, every social media post. We're like, we live in a world where there is no expectation of privacy ever. So the onus is on you to be a good person even when no one's watching, because people probably are. That's
so you're saying the internet is God.
Santa like, Claus.
Santa Claus.
I think it's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't know what technology holds for them. I just like this is the first thing I've read in a long time that makes me just want to delete my accounts and just be like,
yeah.
I know some people that are like, yeah, but it's hard as a comic not to have social media.
Any, or are there any that you feel better about?
No.
Instagram used to be okay because it like didn't feel like that, but then Facebook bought it and now it feels scammy.
I don't know I don't think I did Instagram before Facebook bought it.
Oh, okay.
So I think Instagram is like, that feels like
it's horrible.
The worst. Facebook sucks. I love Twitter though. So
yeah, if you want a better Twitter's okay. If you want a better Instagram experience, set your profile up to be a professional account.
Okay,
And you will not get the bullshit as much. So had a professional account so I could see like who's looking at my posts and who's engaging, and then I turned that off because I was like, what the fuck am I doing? I don't need this. But I realized once I turn it off, all I get is sponsored posts for people just promoting themselves. It's not it's not even people that are selling something. Like, I did CrossFit today, sponsored post. Who the fuck cares? Like, why? And every other post is that.
You know, what is in store for my children, which is what Shane is is maybe this metaverse is going to happen, like where they exist in a world that is just your identity on social media, right? And so the once you enter into that metaverse, the more information they have on you, the more lifelike they can make your picture, the more they can connect you with your friends in the metaverse. Like, I don't know. I mean, I could definitely see. I mean, fuck, my 10-year-old can watch TV all day.
Yeah.
He could sit in front of a TV from the time he wakes up to the time he goes to bed if we didn't parent him.
He should hang out with my mother-in-law.
I mean, yeah.
Is he like Andy Griffin?
We'll be like, you gotta take a break.
They both love watching Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. He'll take a break. I'll be like, dude, you gotta take a break. And he'll like go to the bathroom, drink some water, walk outside, throw the ball to the dog. And then like 4 minutes later, be like, I took a break. I'm gonna get back. And I'm like, no. Like, like it's
read a book,
or go outside. So could he live in a universe where he just wore goggles and interacted? Yes, he could.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's in store for him. And that's what they're grooming these kids for.
But maybe it's freeing too. Cause what's that line? It's not till you had nothing. It's what's that line? It's not till you had nothing. It's you're free to do anything. What's that fucking quote?
Freedom's just another word for nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's not the one I'm thinking of. But basically, it's like you're not free until you have nothing.
This doesn't sound anything like James Joplin.
Freedom's is that right, Janis Joplin?
Yeah, that's not the quote. But
I don't know what.
But it's like basically, if everything's public, then what do you have to hide? Because everybody's fucked up. So it's like, what are you gonna use for compromise? Because everyone's looking at porn. Everyone's doing bad shit.
Is privacy a bad, like, isn't there something to be said for having a private life?
Oh, yeah. I love privacy.
You think so? But I mean, yes, privacy is nice. Yeah. But everybody shares everything all the time.
Yeah.
Constantly talking about what's this person, what's that.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I grew up and I had friends that their parents made them leave their bedroom door open, never let them close it. And I was like, that's fucking weird. But it's like, well, that's your life.
I don't know. But I know that rule.
Yeah. Like,
there were times
when
keep the door
open. Yeah.
Stop you from jerking off.
Yeah, for sure.
We let our kids close the doors.
Yeah, I think that's a good, I mean, they're going to jerk off. So
Better there than on the couch, between the couch cushions, watching Star Trek.
Maybe not. I mean, you know.
Was that too personal?
Oh, yeah. She's got so many folds in her forehead. That's what I'm into.
She speaks so many languages. She's at one with the universe.
I'm going to come at her gills.
Yeah, they're gills. That's the second fucking sexual gill comment in 2 days I've heard. Someone mentioned that last night.
That's right. That's right.
I think the deep from The Boys has ruined us.
Here's my final thought on this. The U.S. Department of Defense got caught with its hand in the cookie jar by someone doing just a really shitty job. If the person had been competent at all, and not just made terrible Facebook accounts that are
stupid,
obviously fake,
clearly Puerto Rican actors,
yeah, we would not be here talking about this. And like, what I think it's done is it scratched the surface, and now people are saying, like, Wait, how much are we being tracked and cataloged, and how much is our life is being organized in such a way that could be used to influence somebody? That's, to me, problematic and scary.
Yeah.
So that's my final thought.
Okay. My final thought is, I think we've all expected this. We've all assumed this stuff's going on. And once you hear more of the details, it's a little bit more frightening, obviously, because you know it's real and not just a fucking crazy conspiracy. But I think what you have to do is you just have to weigh what's important and how much you need those things. Like, if you want to look at porn, you go, is it worth the government knowing I'm into this thing? Today, maybe so. Or you want to look up anything, you know? And it's like, you just weigh the options. Is my privacy more important than this thing I'm into right now? I don't know.
Do you think that you have to do something? Let's assume that the government's doing this to everybody. Mm-hmm. They've got a Shane Smith server somewhere.
Yeah.
They got a Joe Perreault life log. Do you have to do something which then triggers where someone's like, show me their life log. I want to see, like,
oh,
I mean, do you think it's just there? It's just like a in case.
Yeah. I think it's just waiting. Yeah.
And maybe there's crawlers going through there trying to identify precognitive. We've talked about precognitive legal enforcement programs. Yeah. So maybe they're like, when we start to see these things, then somebody gets actively monitored because that's when they go.
Yeah.
Terrorist.
And that's why Amazon stuff is so, terrifying, because Amazon on the news today, it's saying, Amazon Prime Day, they're doing it twice this year. You're going to get discounts on the Amazon cameras, the Amazon, all this shit. And it's like, Amazon has a deal with law enforcement. So they know who buys the shit. They know what's happening outside your house. They can look at that anytime they want. They can look inside. There's a new fucking reality show that's just Amazon camera videos from inside your house, where it's like, it's a blooper show.
Do you think all these billionaires?
That's a thing. Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Amazon's funniest home videos.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
hosted by the life log of Bob Saget. No, that's
it. That's really funny. Yeah,
that's great.
Do you think that all these billionaires are there's a meeting, because it wouldn't be a very big meeting, where they're like, okay, Bezos, Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys are going to do what we say, and we're going to allow you to keep being billionaires. But if you don't, we're going to take you down.
Probably. I mean,
that would be an easy yes from someone like Bezos. Probably Zuckerberg, too.
That what? They threatened to take away their...
Like, look, you're going to help us. You're going to do what we say. And if you don't, like, we'll take you down. Like, we will bring Facebook down, and we will destroy you.
But then what's the point of like congressional hearings saying you got to protect people's privacy? Is that just all show?
Just a show.
That's just moving sand around the table. Like, it's just like,
you got to clean your tables.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think if you're a billionaire, multi-billionaire, like these guys are, somehow your sole purpose in life becomes just to stay a multi-billionaire. And so if somebody says, if you want to stay a billionaire and you don't want us to just allow antitrust action to break up your company and tax you out the wazoo or whatever they can throw it at Jeff Bezos, then you're gonna do what we say.
But he's done. He's out.
Yeah, he's out.
What about Musk? He's just making cars and digging holes.
I think he's probably a fucking alien. I think he's not fucking normal.
He's not.
Episode of BattleBots where him and Zuckerberg go at it. Yeah.
I'd fucking watch that.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Billionaire bots or billionaire wars. I'd watch cage matches with billionaires.
Could be pretty fun.
It could be fun. Although they're probably horrible fighters.
That's they're the enjoyment. Soft
Bezos is ripped, man. Though.
I mean, he's ripped, but he's gym ripped.
He's like weird, non-defined ripped.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're not. These guys wouldn't last a minute.
And Zuckerberg, have you remember the movie The Last Starfighter?
Yes.
No.
If you watch that movie, if you remember that movie, there's a point where an alien comes to Earth and wants to replicate what a human looks like, and they pull the sheet back, and it's like this gelatinous mass of veins and like eyeballs sticking out. And like that's what fucking Zuckerberg looks like at night. He's just under his sheet, like hibernating. He's fucking ugh. He's fucking.
Right, you got a final thought?
Yeah, what's your final thought, Joe?
I feel like I've come to accept this whole. I think where we started, the idea of like using social media to undermine other, like destabilize other parts of the world is like, all right, yeah, that's like the logical next step. Yeah, that's what Russia's doing to us. I get it. Let's get a little bit of an action going in China. Why not?
Yeah.
I love this next generation. You guys are always like, yeah, that's what's been going on. Fuck it.
Yeah, where the fuck have you been? I didn't realize this 10 years ago. I mean, it's like a little theory with like what you said with your kids is you gotta understand that like what's there is there forever. And like that doesn't mean that I totally follow that lesson, but like that's the same thing with morality and ethics in general. And like, if the thing that makes you a good person online is the fear that the government will somehow use that against you in the future, doesn't make you a good person. You're still kind of a scumbag.
Still have those thoughts.
Right.
So this is basically just the government's way of telling us as citizens to keep our bedroom doors open. So they don't.
Doors are open.
It's the panopticon.
Yeah. It is the panopticon. Yeah.
Definitely the panopticon, and I know what that word means.
Yeah, I think you've talked me a little bit off the ledge, Joe, so I appreciate it.
I think it's just that's
the world we live in.
That's what the internet is. Hopefully someday we'll flip the switch.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, turn it all off. Go back and attempt to delete stuff if you can.
Mm-hmm.
When Facebook gives you the nice memories, go in there and delete stuff. I can't tell you how many things I go in and I delete from 2007, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah.
Just delete,
I just gone. I do, but like,
it's not gone. You can't see it, but it's not gone.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I mean, I like,
and maybe a lot of people can't see
like
it.
From my youth. Like, nice, but in theory, someone can't go back and pull all. No, it's not that I have like a ton of skeletons in my Facebook closet. But.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, here, you know, the thing that's like, this is sort of off topic, but I'll just throw it out there is that there's something that's going to have to be wrestled through is. When I was growing up, and even in the last 10 years ago, if a sex video leaked for like a politician or somebody, it was sort of like the end of your career.
Yeah.
But we're soon going to live in a world where like if a dick pic or a nudes that you sent to your boyfriend in, you know, freshman year of college are enough to disqualify you from public service, we're not going to have any politicians. We're going to just be like
the New York Post writes an article about it. Like, you're not going to believe these dick pics.
Yes, they're going to actually write articles about people that don't fuck.
Don't have dick pics.
Yeah, they're like, this guy is a virgin.
No, actually make you a hero.
Yeah.
Can you believe this ex-girlfriend released this revenge porn?
Yeah.
It does seem to hurt women more. And I just think, you know, I was just thinking about like women who do OnlyFans who then...
Oh.
It's been like that's proliferated so much during the pandemic that like, you know, I've watched the after porn documentary and it's brutal to watch.
Oh, yeah. I can't watch it.
So it's like,
I mean, we lost a co-host because he was worried about the internet.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
rest in peace, Sam.
I still subscribe to his OnlyFans. It's not as good anymore, but
he cries.
He was
not
unemployed.
Much,
he was pretty desperate for a few months.
That's funny. Well, man, this has been really fun. Scary, but fun.
Yeah.
I think our folks will like it. And I did. Joe, do you want to plug a social? Do you want people to follow you on Twitter? You seem to like Twitter.
I'm a fan of Twitter. You can follow me at Joe Perot.
Yeah, very cool.
On there, I post a kid. I mostly just scroll. I don't like anything. You don't retweet anything. Yeah. Just on there.
Yeah. Dude, that's just cool.
Doom scrolling,
looking,
lurking, awesome. And looking.
Pooping and looking.
Yes.
Well, man, we look forward to having you back on the show. This, as always, has been Conspiracy Beer Me. I'm still Justin Scranton.
I'm Shane Smith, and this was
Joe Perot.
Peace.